Welcome back. So I want to tell you guys that when I get home, which is Nashville, I am going to start filming the first episode of a documentary series about this topic. So one of the things that I have a deep passion about is preserving creativity, making sure that we don't lose like creativity that comes from inside of ourselves and that people are creating. I feel like that's kind of an undercurrent of a few conversations. And that two things, not having so much media intake, obviously can just take away from the time and energy and kind of numb you to consuming instead of creating. But also that the more you consume, the more you start thinking about what will other people want to see, what's popular right now, and you start creating for basically the algorithm or the audience instead of creating from that deep place that like God is creating something new through you and through your life specifically for this world. So I am quite passionate about seeing how we can kind of put this kind of hedge of protection around the idea of creativity and give people space to create again. Also, with all of the digital demands, just the actual, forget about social media, just the constantly having to respond, reply, engage, be on call all the time. We just don't have energy for creating. Creativity takes a tremendous amount of energy. So this series will take an artist, the first one's gonna be a musician, but it could be any kind of creative exploration. And basically, at the beginning of it, we have like a little session on my front porch of being like, okay, you are going to trade in your phone for 30 days. Like, I'm gonna have your phone for 30 days, and you have 30 days free to create whatever you want. So over the course of the 30 days, we'll video like what that artist is doing or working on, what they're dealing with emotionally, because there's a lot of the withdrawal symptoms that we experience being away from our phones is pretty significant because it's connected to not just our work or things that we can distract ourselves from, but also we feel disconnected from that easy accessibility to everyone and everyone having access to us. They are gonna get like a dumb phone in place of it so they can call whoever they want to whenever they want to. And then at the end of that 30 days, we get to see like what that artist created, what they wish, like what they missed about their technology and what they want back. And then we'll have a chance to be like, oh, here the viewer can see, oh, I could do those things. I could turn off notifications from my, you know, Instagram, or yeah, I do want Instagram, but maybe just for like this particular project that I'm working on. You know, basically giving everybody a chance to reintegrate with their technology from a place of, oh, I get to use this. I get to say how I want this to be in my life. I'm not just sort of pulled in the undercurrent of it. So anyway, I'm very excited about that, and I am excited for y'all to think about, like, what would you do with your 30 days? So if you had 30 days without, I don't want to say technology, but you know what I mean. If you had 30 days kind of free of the responsibilities of managing or even the distractions, like what would you make? What would you do? So that's not for you to answer right now. That's just sort of to put out there. We're going to go back to my favorite chart, because we have, I think for the most part, talked a lot about the challenges that we're all facing. We have not talked about if the parents answered this question or not, but there is a pretty strong consensus from the students that there are tremendous challenges that they feel very aware of all of the harms. They were not defensive at all of all the good things that it had to offer them and why they want more privileges with it. They're much more, and you heard it, you heard them say this in the opening, they're overwhelmed, they're exhausted, they're concerned about addiction for themselves, or maybe their parents or other siblings, and they are under a great deal of stress. So if you, guys, y'all can correct me afterwards if I'm wrong, and I'll like make a public announcement if I want to represent you all accurately. But basically, there's a tremendous amount of stress from digital spaces, right? From that whole, like, we don't even have to unpack or to guess. there's a lot of stress there. But then the reverse is true, is that they feel a lot of stress in the real world, right? And so there's this, like, I feel so stressed out here, and I don't really know what to do or how to do about it. I'm going to escape into this space that then also brings more stress. And so what I heard them say, that if I were the parents in this situation, which I am, is to have more of a posture of curiosity about the stress in your life and how I can help you, how I can support you. And possibly maybe even more in, like, the more support they had in the things they have to do in real life, the less they would feel the need to escape into the virtual spaces or to numb out in that. We talked a lot about how that stress response is going to basically be the beginning of every day or every hard thing that you have to do, right? And that we don't have a good model for working through that. Most of us, I told them, anyone, any age older than them, if they had the opportunity to press a button to not feel their feelings, we would have all done it. And we're all doing it, right? So we would have done it at their age. We're doing it now. If you have a way to escape feeling what you're feeling, you're going to do it. It's going to happen. You don't care if it's healthy or if it's not healthy. We don't want to feel these feelings. The problem is that not feeling those feelings keeps making those feelings get more built up and more overwhelming, so that when you do finally check in with yourself, it's too much. It's overwhelming. So we talked a lot about how when you first experience that stress response, you feel that cortisol, that adrenaline triggering off in your body, that, well, will somebody say what you're going to do? Do I have a spokesperson that you could maybe teach? Anybody? Yes, it's you. Then why'd you look at me that way? Okay, it's you. You do it. You tell them. What are you going to do? What are you going to model? What do you want to help yourself do when you have that first, I'm embarrassed, I'm angry, I'm bored, you have that feeling you don't want to feel, this, that energy's gone off in your body, what do you do with it?
Well, some of the things you talked about was like, the very first thing you should do is like breathe, focus on your breathing, and then like exercise, what else, just finding ways to get that energy out, not letting it build up and give you anxiety.
Yes, and not going to something else to escape it, to only wake up back to it with more that you have to deal with, where your resources keep depleting. Is that good? Did that represent what you said? Okay. Evie's like, fine. That was as good as you could do, Jenny, but okay. Anything you want to report from the parents? Nah. Okay. We'll save that for later. Okay, so what we need to talk about on the flow chart is everybody gets, right? We've got a lot of challenges that we're facing, right? Everybody's got that. Emotionally, physically, spiritually. What I want to make sure we've talked about here is what are the resources that we need to even start facing these challenges. So in my office, with my kids, with my friends, with myself, the most common question that I ask and have to ask all the time is, what do you need? What do you need right now? So when you do feel that stress response, if you can ask yourself, what do you need? What are some things that you need? So try to think back to the last moment that you experienced stress. What do you need? Or no, just think right now. Close your eyes. Ask yourself, what do I need right now? So, what are some answers that came to your mind? I need peace. Super basic. What's the most basic one you can think of?
Air.
What?
Air.
Right. Breathing. There's not many of us that any single moment couldn't benefit from taking a deep breath, right? So one of the things we talked about is that there's such a thing called email apnea, that when we're on screens, we don't breathe properly. So that's, like, imagine how much of our anxiety is actually caused just because you forgot to breathe for all those hours. That's a bit stressful, right? Your body's like, oxygen. I need to breathe. What else? I need compassion. For who? What else? I need to stop.
Rest.
I need rest. That could mean I need to go to sleep. I need to take a nap, or I just need to have a rest right here. Give my mind a break. So that's something I saw really early on when I had given up my phone, but my kids still had theirs. I realized that life, real life, has all of these natural pauses, all these natural pauses. And we've never measured what those pauses do for us until we see what happens when we don't have those pauses. When we pick up our phone every time that we have a break, our brain never has those moments to be like, integrate some information, take a deep breath, right? It just gets piled up. Again, even if it's great, interesting, good stuff, your brain didn't get a chance to absorb it. It just stays on this, like, taking it in. So a lot of times, we've taken in so much content that by the time that we turn off our phone, we feel that anxiety because our brain can't file fast enough everything that it's seen or processed. So rest. Right. You really can get a tremendous, wherever you are in your phone habits, you can get a tremendous amount of healing and recovery just like 1 minute at a time. Just giving yourself 1 minute to not pick up your phone will make a difference, or for real difference for you. Not being afraid of those down spaces. What else? Okay, students, what are some of the things we said you forget about when you're on screens, that when you come back, we wake back up to yourself, what do you realize? What did you need? What? I need to eat. I need to eat. The more times that we're on screens, the more, Aaron, are you hungry right now already again? you leave your body. You physically leave your body. And so if you're an adult who works on screens all day long, and that is your job, that's your 8-hour job, you're going to have to actually use, like, oh, I need to eat. Because if you leave your body, you're not feeling that sensation of hunger. So I need something to eat is important resource. We, in therapy, you would only have these conversations with people who lived in severe poverty. So we're having to address basic needs, and are your basic needs being met in a privileged population, because it can seem like it's more important to get caught up on these emails than to feed yourself. And that's never happened before in a society. Like in a normal society, you would have to be well fed to go do your work, right? And you would run out of energy and then go get food to keep going and doing your work. So we have this flipped where we're trying to meet these challenges without having our resources met. And there's this sense of, oh, I'll eat when I finally get caught up on blah, blah, blah. Okay, so food, breathing, rest, compassion, peace. What else?
Touch.
Very big one. Yes. Touch. I need to be touched. I need to touch someone. I need to remember I'm human. I need to remember I have a body, right? I have a body that needs care and attention. What else? I mean, that one is so big. We just freeze, right? We freeze, and our bodies are sore, And yes, we need to stretch, we need to walk.
To grieve.
We need to let our bodies process through those feelings. So what we talked about is feelings are, you know, and they're kicked up by a tremendous amount of different things, usually challenges, and we don't want to feel them. They overwhelm us no matter what phase we catch them at. They will go through our bodies like a wave that will kind of crest and fall if we let them. If we breathe through it, if we go for a walk, if we call a friend, process through it, we will experience like cry. If you cry or you laugh, like you will experience some sort of peak that nothing has to change and you will feel that relief, right? Like after a good cry, you're like, everything's still just as bad as it was, but I feel better because that energy got to move through you. If you distract yourself from that feeling, it builds up and it builds up so that when the distraction is over, it is too overwhelming to feel. So grieving, let it have its process. What else? How many people in here get enough water every day? Water, big deal. Hydrate yourself. What else? What are other resources? What resources do you need to face the challenges that you have in your life? What? Talk to someone real. Yeah, talk to another human.
Music.
Very good. And that's, you know, two things, listening to music, but also maybe playing music or writing music. Which is what another resource, right? Creating any kind of creativity is going to be a resource. But creativity is kind of awesome that way because it's a challenge, but it's also a resource that feeds the challenge. So that's one of like, it's kind of a little hack. It's both. What else? What else do you need? So if you had everything that we've talked about so far, if you had food, water, movement, talking to a person, compassion, peace, what else? Time with God. Connecting with God and connecting with yourself, which are very closely related, like that's an easy thing not to do when you can always be connected to everybody else, right? That is an easy, easy thing to lose contact with. Do I even know what God's saying to me? And that's it takes downtime. It takes quiet to hear what God's saying to you and to experience God's presence. That's a downtime thing. You have to have space for it to show up. And then sometimes he just comes and just knocks you right over the head. It's kind of that idea of if you don't take rest when you were made to take rest, you're ultimately going to take rest when you didn't want to for much longer. So yeah, connecting with God, connecting with yourself, connecting with another human being. So what about like having clean laundry? Is that a good resource? Like, isn't it stressful when you're like, I can't find anything clean to wear? It's very hard to face the challenges of life when you don't have any clean clothes, right? So what about having food in your house? Having a job, having money? Like these are all resources that you need in order to face the challenges. So I want you to think about a challenge that you're facing right now. And it does not have to be a big, dramatic therapy kind of challenge. It could be something really small, super small. Do you have the resources you need for that challenge? Do you know what they are? So here's my challenge. What do I need to face this challenge? Can you all ask yourself that question?
So the more time and energy that you put into building real life resources, the more capacity you're going to have to face both real world challenges and digital challenges, right? So if you've spent time connecting to yourself, connecting to God, if you are well fed, like I really do believe so much anxiety and depression that we're experiencing today actually comes more from a neglect of basic needs than it does from feeling left out of something on social media. Like, if your body isn't getting what it needs, it's going to feel anxious and it's going to get depressed, right? Because your job is to take care of it. So when we stay really focused on accomplishing those things that aren't actual needs, we're neglecting those needs and we think, oh, but if I just got this, I would have what I needed. And really, most of the time that I ask myself, what do I need? And a really like, when I'm in like my own emotional spiral, I usually need to sleep. I usually need to eat. I usually need to be outside. We didn't say that one, be outside. And I usually need to be with a friend or talk to a friend. So my daughter and I call this our inner toddlers. Like we're all inner toddlers. She just needs a nap. She just needs a snack. She just needs a good cry. And that's very real and very true for all of us. Okay. Thoughts? Does anyone have a challenge that they want to share and something they realize they needed to face that challenge? Do all of y'all need a nap right now? I know you don't need food, except Aaron. What'd you say? Exactly. So I love to say that this is the math of being human. Like instead of this like, oh, what's wrong with me? I need to be in therapy. I'm hopeless. I am a desperate mess. That we're really simple in that if we do not have what we need, we're not going to be okay. If you don't have enough resources for your challenges, you are going to be anxious, right? So what are your two options? You have two options. If you don't have enough resources for your challenges, you have two different things that you can do. What are they? Get more resources. Or decrease your challenges or increase your resources. And that is what I call the math of being human. If you want to be healthy, if you want to be mentally healthy, that's where you put your energy. I have a responsibility here to this human. I need to work on these resources or I need to decrease these challenges. Or more than likely, there's a combination of all of them. What you already know, but I'm just going to say to make sure it's been said, is that in the virtual world, the challenges will always outpace your resources. It's made that way. Can you say a little bit about that?
Can I say something about that?
Yeah. And like to me, the best example of that is your email inbox has no maximum amount of emails that it can receive, right? It never max, at least I have not seen anyone who's maxed out. But you have a capacity for how many emails you could respond to. Even if that was your full-time job, you would have an end and it could still have more coming in. So what you need to know is that the math of being human doesn't work in digital spaces. You will never, ever be enough. Like, if you are, I've met so many people who are influencers, who are YouTubers, who make a living in those arenas, who have viral posts or who went viral on TikTok, whatever. Not one of them will say, it was awesome, I got it. Like it does exactly what he's talking about. It is never enough. You have to keep up the next day, the next day. So there is no real payoff in that world. That's why you have to know, okay, the challenges out here are not, they're not something that I can meet because they're going to be outpacing me all the time. However, you were made to thrive in the real world. You do have everything you need right now in real life spaces. And those, the steps that you take, as simple as making your bed in the morning, will actually build something for you that becomes a resource to help you face, one, your challenges in the real world, but two, it helps you, when your needs are met in the real world, it helps you know, oh, I think it'd be fun to go on Instagram and see what my friends are up to, as opposed to, I'm going to Instagram to get this need met. Does that make sense? Or to avoid this need. So that's our best shot at a healthy engagement. Make sure your needs are met in the real world. And I'm curious what that, I don't know, for some reason I'm curious what, how would that make you approach parenting differently? That idea. That's a vague question, but I was just thinking of it. How would you approach parenting differently if we're never going to master these virtual spaces? We're never going to figure it all out. We're never going to teach our kids all the right things to do here. We're never going to have all the rules in place. Like, this challenge is not to be, this isn't what we're supposed to conquer, right? What? How does that shift parenting in this age? How would that concept shift parenting? And yet, there's no part of real life that's less significant now than it was for our grandparents or great-grandparents or great-great-grandparents, right? So how would your parenting shift if you knew we're not going to change anything in the virtual world? What does parenting look like then? And so how does that look from a parenting perspective?
Well, it means I just have to, you know, be present with my kids today. And then I'll do it again tomorrow.
And what are you going to ask your kid?
What do you need?
Okay. What do you need? I think I probably became a therapist because I wanted to figure out how to parent perfectly. And like, I'm going to do this right. I'm going to do this right. There's a right way to do it, and I'm going to figure out what it is. And I remember specifically with my daughter never really wanting to acknowledge the stuff that she was going through. And I can't remember, somebody said this earlier. There's a part of us as parents that really don't want to know how hard of a time our kids are going through. And I'll just say for myself, I didn't want to acknowledge it. I wanted to believe that it's something that she was going to grow out of, or this was adolescence, or whatever. There was this need for me to minimize her pain, process, struggle, whatever. And the truth is, I didn't want to let it in because I didn't know how to help her. I felt really powerless. Like, if I really acknowledge, and she went through some severe depression in high school, if I really acknowledge this, I can't do anything to help, so let me just not acknowledge it. And that's saying a lot from somebody like me who actually helps people go through this for a living. So the fact that I am her mom, the fact that I felt inadequate gives me a lot of information about how many parents probably feel really inadequate to like help their kid going through what they're going through. And I feel that way almost every student I talk to. I feel this overwhelming, like, I don't know how to help you. I want to help you. I don't know how to help you. I wish I could do something to make this different for you. But I knew research shows that when someone is in pain, that all you have to do is reach out and touch them in some way and look at their eyes and say, I'm right here and I'm going to stay here for as long as you need me to. That's it. Like, that's so embarrassing to tell you that I had to find out research about that, right? It's pretty obvious. It sounds like a pretty obvious thing to do. But in light of how much pain my daughter was in and how scared I was that I couldn't help her, I couldn't access that. I couldn't access that from my gut, from my soul. But I study a lot. I've learned a lot. And I remember her being on the couch and we were having this moment and I could feel myself like back away and be like, oh, she'll be fine. I'm going to go distract myself with something and leave her there. She'll work through it. She's a strong girl, which she is. And I was like, wait, Jenny, you know the research, you know the research. And I am telling you, I was so scared. I was so scared that I would reach out and do it and it wouldn't be enough. It was almost like I couldn't bear for either one of us to find out that it wasn't going to be enough. And I was like, the research said, Jenny, the research said. So I did. I just sat with her. I put my hand on her hand and I was like, baby, I'm right here. And I'm staying here for as long as you need me to. She cried, I cried, and that moment forever changed our relationship. Forever. I couldn't help at all. Like, I could not help with what she was struggling with. But I could be with her. Like, I didn't have any answers. And that's the invitation here, right? That's the invitation. We're all dealing with a lot. We're all kind of over our head, drowning in challenges. If you totally took out the whole digital spaces, we're drowning in challenges that are political and financial and emotional, right? And social. So this is our gift that we have. And it's really important, you beautiful students, that you know you also have that capacity. You can do that and reach out to your friends that way, and you can also be that person for your parents. We're all going through a lot of hard things right now, but we really do have what we need to heal. It's here. It's here. It's here in this place. It's in our relationships. It's in our families. And you have access to it all the time. But it does take a moment. It takes a moment, and it takes that, oh, I'm going back to this moment right here, putting one foot in front of the other, asking myself, what do I need? Asking my kid, what do they need? Asking my parent, what do you need? And together, getting those resources. Do we already have it and we didn't even know we had it? Or can we go get it together? Or maybe do you have something you can help me with and I have something I can help you with? The digital world has completely leveled authority, right? We don't sit in the same position as adults that we used to, that we know better. We have done better, and we've done what you guys have done. We're really sitting at the mercy of our students who are navigating a world that we weren't born into. So we have this really beautiful opportunity to practice that idea of always being a student and always being a teacher in our relationships with our kids, which past generations haven't had. Like, we have an invitation, because of how complicated this whole world is, we have an invitation into a level of intimacy with our kids and with our parents that really hasn't been offered or required for past generations. And we can use this, we can use it to come together and face something together, instead of separate us into our student and parent, whatever, where we just feel like, oh, they don't understand. They won't understand. Y'all are just so quiet. Take a deep breath. Jenny? What else? What else do y'all want to talk about? Okay, stand up. Stretch. High five or hug or fist bump somebody around you. Yeah,
hug you. I can't not hug anybody. Okay, y'all can sit back down. So I told you guys that my son is 23, so he's in his first year out of college, kind of second year in the real world, whatever that is. And he and his friends have conversations that they believe they were the last generation to have a childhood. And that they like feel so lucky, like they just got to have a childhood. And I went and met with these fifth and sixth graders, 101 fifth and sixth graders, and I asked them if they had 24 hours without any screens in their house, what would they do with that day? 24 hours with no screens in your house. So nobody in your house has any screens, right? You still can, like, you still have electricity. And you're not a millionaire. Like, you're still dealing with your own reality. So what I want you to do is, I don't know, group up with four or five people, and I want y'all to talk about what you would do if you had 24 hours in your reality as it is today, and there were no screens. What would you do with it?